Let me ask you, what are you hoping? Do you hope in a better government? I'm talking about, what are you hoping? Yes, we want righteousness. Yes, we want justice. We don't want lying and wickedness. That's okay. It's okay to praise God. The people rejoice when the oppressors are taken down. Praise the Lord. But we don't put our hope in those men.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths about how we're to live out our faith.
Yes, it does, Dave, and more specifically, how we are to do so in light of government. Okay, with this in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 19 as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
This points to the fact that he was an evil man, and in his short reign, he devoured men. He was a wicked man. We know in 2 Kings 23:32, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his fathers. So evidently, this up-and-coming wicked king, made king by the people, made a lot of waves in his short tenure. Look at verse 4. Then the nations heard of him, and he was captured in their pit, and they brought him with hooks to the land of Egypt. So, guess what? He went to Egypt. We saw. He was taken there, captured, and he was killed. He's dead, right? That's what it's saying here. It's a funeral dirge. So again, why is God reminding these exiles of this king? Well, I believe he's reminding them how quickly this up-and-coming king that was put in power by them, certainly desired to deliver them from their enemies, was taken, exiled, and died. That's really what it's talking about. And again, we have an illustration of the soul that sins will die. Behold, all souls are mine. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul of the Father is well, the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sins will die. And so we see these beginning of the case being brought forth that their contemporary rulers were not worthy of their trust. Only God is worthy of their trust. They are not worthy of their hope. Only God is worthy of their hope. And it's a warning to us, by the way, too. Doesn't mean we don't praise God for people that want to rule righteously. Praise the Lord, but that's not our hope. And the issue is actually that there's sin. That's the deal. That's the problem. Psalm 146, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there's no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, that very day his thoughts perish. That's what happened to that guy. Don't trust in men, don't trust in people, don't trust in science, don't trust in medicine. Trust in God. Now he may use those things, but trust in God. So that's the first cub. What about the next cub? Notice verse 5. When she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost. Oh boy, here you go. She took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. Here's the key to interpreting this whole thing. I've already alluded to it. That her hope was lost. They put their hope in these kings to deliver them from Egypt and to deliver them, as we'll see, from Babylon. They put their hope in princes and mortal man, not the Lord. They were God's people. They said they were God's people. They declared they were his people. Just like people in church, they say they're Christians. They put their hope in other stuff. What's going on here? Something's wrong. We should put our hope in the Lord. Don't hope in men. Don't hope in anything other than the Lord. So notice, she noticed that her hope was lost, middle of 5. She took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. Hey, she could keep going. That's what mankind does. One thing doesn't make it, going to go to something else. By the way, if you have any issues or problems, first of all, we got to deal with sin. But secondly, put your hope in the Lord. Whether it's work, whether it's medical, whether it's financial, whatever it is. Deal with sin and put your hope in the Lord. Deal with sin and put your hope in the Lord. There's a bumper sticker, right? Okay. So then, they had misguided hopes. Their hope was then lost. Let's turn to Psalm 146. I read this earlier, but I'd like to read it again because it really makes much more sense in light of what we're studying. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. If you're trusting in man, you're not praising God. You're busy thinking about your problems and how the man's going to get you out of it, by the way, whatever it is. But here, praise the Lord. Do not trust in princes. Those are leaders, by the way. Don't trust in your leaders. Don't trust in Trump. Not saying he's a bad guy. Saying don't trust in him. Trust in God. In mortal man in whom there's no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Do you need to do a heart check? Where is your hope in the midst of your problems? Let's say you got a spouse that's messed up. Where's your hope in them being changed? You got family members that are messed up. Where's your hope? Where's your hope in? You got a medical situation. You got anything, whatever it is. Where's your hope? You better hope in the Lord. Your Lord is our hope. He's a blessed hope, by the way. So the false teachers and false prophets were trying to persuade the exiles, certainly, plus say those in Judah, that a king would deliver them. Trust in the king. He's your guy. He's going to do it. Rather than their need to repent of their sin. You see, the soul that sins will die. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Therefore, repent and live. So in this funeral dirge, we've seen that God reminds them that their next failed king in which they trusted, look at verse 5. When she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. Gonna get another king up. And he walked about among lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear his prey, devoured men, and he destroyed their fortified towers, laid waste their cities, and their land, and its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. The nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him, and he was captured in their pit. They put him in a cage with hooks and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so that his voice should be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Obviously, loudmouth guy, loudmouth king, right? Talking big talk, right? Okay. Here, I believe these exiles would know exactly who Ezekiel is dying about. They know exactly. It was King Jehoiachin. And you say, well, wait a second. I know my history. Jehoiachin wasn't the next king. Well, it's not having to do with the next king, because Jehoiachin's father, Jehoiakim, wasn't one they trusted in. He was a puppet. So it skips one, okay? It's not Jehoiakim. And if you'll remember, the point of Lamentations is that they trusted in kings rather than God. And Jehoiakim, his father, was a puppet raised up by Egypt that taxed them greatly. Didn't like him, okay? But so they got this new guy. They got a new guy, his son, Jehoiachin. And notice back in our passage, verse 5, and when she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion, and he walked among the lions, and he became a young lion. This is Jehoiachin. And what can we learn about this cub, Jehoiachin? Well, he was only king for 3 months. He looked very promising, very strong in the eyes of those in Judah. And as we'll see, in symbolic language, he was an evil king. He learned to tear his prey, devoured men. Verse 7, he destroyed their fortified towers, laid waste their cities, and the land its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. Hey, he made a big roar for a little short time. But the effect of his actions were devastating on Judah, as we see. They were devastating. And here in verse 8, we see the response of the nations to his big roar, his big talk, right? Then the nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him. He was captured in their pit. They put him in a cage with hooks, and they brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so his voice should be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Now, this is recorded in 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24, verse 8. Look at Turner, 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24, verse 8. Jehoiachin, this is the Chin guy, right? Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all his fathers had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem. The city came under siege. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while the servants were besieging it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign, and he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon the king had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. Then he led away into exile all Jerusalem and the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. So he led Jehoiachin away into exile to Babylon, also the king's mother, the king's wives, his officials, and other leading men of the land. He led them into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, strong and fit for war. All these the king of Babylon brought into exile in Babylon. So when Jehoiachin, their big hope, now this was the second siege. Ezekiel was taken during this time, and all these exiles, they know exactly who this guy is. He's the guy that got taken with him. He was their big hope. Here's the funeral dirge. Your big hope is a captive, just like you. Just like you. You put your hope in men, he's a captive just like you. Taken in chains. You put your hope in men, it's a problem. And indeed, these Jewish exiles knew that Jehoiachin wasn't going to save them. He's an exile like them. He's in chains. So then why is God revealing this to these exiles? I believe he's reminding them how quickly this up-and-coming king that they certainly desired to deliver from their enemies, that they hoped in, how quickly he was taken to exile. They trusted in him for 3 months, and he's gone, and you're gone too. It's an illustration of what we saw in the last chapter. Behold, all the souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sins will die. We see this with these contemporary rulers like any man. They're not worthy of trust and hope. We trust in the Lord. We don't trust in them. Let me ask you, what are you hoping? Do you hope in a better government? I'm talking about, what are you hoping? Yes, we want righteousness. Yes, we want justice. We don't want lying and wickedness. We want, and that's okay. It's okay to praise God. The people rejoice when the oppressors are taken down. Praise the Lord. But we don't put our hope in those men. If you are putting your hope in Trump for making things better, you're in deep trouble. And I see a lot of people starting to do that. We should support him and praise the Lord. We're to pray to our president. We're to honor him and praise the Lord. We have him that wants to seemingly do what's right. Praise the Lord. But don't put your hope in him. You see, our problems in this country need to be dealt with. The problem is sin. That's the problem. And only God delivers us from sin. Do not trust in princes or mortal man. What are you trusting in? Don't do it. Trust in the Lord. Christ Jesus is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is our only hope. So then in this first allegory, we have a funeral dirge for two kings, Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin, which ultimately reveals the futility of hoping in mortal kings. Okay? Now we have the second allegory to finish out here. We have a vine and her branches, which reveals that the hope and royal deliverance is done for these guys. It's done. It ain't going to happen. Verse 10, your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. It had strong branches fit for scepters of rulers, and its height raised above the clouds so that it was seen in its height with the mass of its branches. Here we have the allegory speaking of a vine and branches. Judah described as a vine. We see here a description of God's blessing upon Judah, planted by waters, fruitful, right? That's God's blessing. Full of branches because of abundant waters. This is an allegory pointing to the fact that Judah was fruitful, and we know it was because God's favor upon them. We certainly see that in the period of certain kings, such as David and Solomon, where the branches exceeded far above the clouds in a sense. The royalty was royal in that sense when they were following the Lord most of the time, at least except for Solomon, some of that. Its height was raised above the clouds. People saw it. You had the Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon's wisdom and what was going on there, right? We have the glory of the kingdom, which God established, was really in the strong kings that named the name of the Lord. Yet unfortunately, the kingdom and the strong kingdom, strong rulers, as we see, because of sin, would be humbled and brought low. Notice the vine's future, verse 12. But it was plucked up in its fury, it was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dries up its fruit. Its strong branch was torn off so that it withered, the fire consumed it, and now it is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. A fire has gone out from its branch, it has consumed its shoots and fruit, so that there is not a strong branch, a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. I think we kind of get an idea of what's going on now, don't we? It says, but it was plucked up in fury, cast to the ground. What was plucked up? Well, in an awful contrast to the being raised above the clouds, this kingdom now, in a sense, and the ruler plucked up in fury. Indeed, this funeral dirge is speaking of God's wrath upon his people who were trusting in princes. And here it was cast down to the ground, its east wind dried up its fruit. So Ezekiel is singing the song, funeral dirge, about the princes of the land. Funeral dirge, it corresponds to God's here imminent judgment upon them for their sins. Middle of verse 12, the strong branch was torn off. so that it withered, the fire consumed it. As we saw in chapter 17 and just saw, Jehoiachin was taken into exile, second siege of Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar set up Zedekiah as a vassal puppet king. Now, Zedekiah, to these exiles, became their hope. They were hoping in him that he would be the guy that turns it around and frees up Jerusalem so that they are set free again. And the prophets were saying, peace and safety, and yet 2 years it'll be over, the exiles will be back. But here we see that their misguided trust, God reveals that Zedekiah will be torn off, withered, and consumed. To be torn off as a branch, as a royal branch in a sense. But it was plucked up in fury, it was cast on the ground, the east wind dried up its fruit. Its strong branch, that's the king. Remember, this is a tribunal dirge against the rulers, right? That's what it is. That helps us interpret this. Its strong branch was torn off so that it withered, the fire consumed it. And indeed, in less than 5 years from this statement here, because of Zedekiah's rebellion, in accordance with the Lord's sovereign plan, Nebuchadnezzar would come and descend upon Jerusalem. He would capture Zedekiah. He would take him to Babylon. He would kill his children in front of him, and he would blind him, and then he would be killed. That's what would happen. He hasn't happened yet. It's about 5 years to come, okay? And indeed, we saw this in chapter 17. And as God predicted, the soul that sins will die. Look at 2 Chronicles 36. So now their big hope they have now this is a future for them. He's going to get taken out. He's going to die. The guy you think that's going to set you free. The first two guys, look what happened to them. Now the guy you think is going to set you free, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Your hope is misguided. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 10. At the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the valuable articles of the house of the Lord. He made his kinsman Zedekiah king over Judah, Jerusalem. This is the puppet guy, right? We're going to see he rebels, okay? Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, who spoke for the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear allegiance by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. It's a bad guy. Furthermore, all the officials of the priests, all the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew all their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man, virgin, old man, infirm. He gave them all into his hand. One other passage, go to Jeremiah 52. They were currently hoping in this guy. And this is what God says happened to him. And in our passage, he's predicting that this would happen. And surely it did, as we see in these passages. Jeremiah 52, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah 52, verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out of his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So here, you see what he did. He was installed by him, but then he rebelled, okay? Now it came about in the ninth year of his reign, a tenth day, a ninth of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and his army against Jerusalem, camped against it, built a siege wall all around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by the way, the gate between the two walls, which was in the king's garden, through the Chaldeans, though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by the way of Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. And the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he also slaughtered the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. There's your hope. And God is saying back in our passage, its strong branch was torn off, so that withered, the fire consumed it. Soul that sins will die. There's your hope. You're hoping in man. Look what happens. Then look at verse 13 in our passage. And now it is planted in the wilderness in a dry, thirsty land. Here it's speaking of Judah, not Zedekiah. Ultimately, God would bring them to Babylon. Where are they now? You thought the kings were going to save them. Now they're in the land of exile in Babylon. Indeed, we see in 605, Nebuchadnezzar laid the first siege. We saw that. Then the second siege in 597. And then the last siege, 586, to the final deportation. And they were taken away. The city was destroyed. The temple torn down. Many slaughtered. And the remaining people were taken into captivity. And now it is planted in the wilderness in the dry and thirsty land. Notice the result. Verse 14, and the fire has gone out from its branch, it's consumed its shoots and its fruit. It's talking about Zedekiah and his kids, slaughtered. No more kings. No more kings. They're all killed. So that there's not a strong branch, a scepter. Humanly speaking, no one left, no king to save him. It's done. So here we have a lamentation that made it clear. End of 14, this is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. It has happened as God would say it would. He's saying this lament, funeral dirge, is as good as done. God has stripped away the evil hope that trusting in man brings. What do you trust in? Think of your life in every area. Are you trusting in man? Are you trusting in your spouse? Are you trusting in whatever it might be? Are you trusting in your work, your job, whatever it is? Are you trusting in the government? I'm not saying that we don't acknowledge things and we want things to be done well and done right and righteously. No problem with that. And praise the Lord when people do that. What are you trusting in? You see, we're not to trust in princes or in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. The Lord is to be our entire trust. Now, some of you might be trusting in man for salvation. You trust in some system that man has brought forth. You trust in that. You're not trusting in Jesus. That's going to fall. It's going to fall. It's good as dead. You could say the dot, dot, dot to it right now. It's as good as done. The only one worthy of our trust is the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And then for us who are believers, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Not lean on our understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. Don't you dare trust in men. Don't you dare have your hope in things of man. Trust in Him. He may use some of those things, but don't trust in them. Trust in Him. And maybe you need to confess, I've been trusting in this. I've been trusting in that. Lord, forgive me.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you talked about how to trust more in Christ than in our leaders.
Yes, I did, Dave, and more specifically, how not to fall into the temptation of trusting in mankind rather than Christ. You see, we want our leaders to do God's will. We want them to lead righteously. And when they appear to do so, we might tend to trust in them or trust that they're the ones that are going to deliver us from the difficulties. But they are not. It is God who delivers us from difficulties. It is God who allows us to live a peaceful and quiet life. It is God. And so our trust needs to be in Him alone. So we need to focus on Jesus and focus on Him alone. And the way we do so is by focusing on His Word and listening to Him, setting our mind on the things above.
Okay, well, hopefully this has been a blessing, and it's helped us get our spiritual compasses pointing in the right direction. Okay, well, we're not done with our study in Ezekiel, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.